The title of the message is Speaking in Tongues is Good, and You Should Desire It. So you already know my stance on it. And I'm going to go through the scriptures and point to back up this claim. I'll be referencing, using 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, although I'm not going to be referencing 1 Corinthians 13, but it is extremely important why it's in between these two chapters. Remember, of course, when Shaul was writing this, there were no chapters, but in other words, there were verses. It was a letter. And letters should be read, a brief biblical exhortation, letters should be read in entirety, or at least in big chunks, and not just always little pieces. Because it's important to get the totality of what someone's saying, even if it's not the whole letter, but at least in pieces, so you understand why certain things are where they are, what's the importance of them. This is a difficult subject. It's something that is very divisive. We've even experienced this in when looking for a building. People, we speak in tongues, and people, they get all worked up. But I'm not going to use anything except the Bible. So I'm going to be very blunt. If you have a problem with my sources, maybe we have a different issue on hand. So let's also consider that the author of this book, this letter, was a very traditional, well-educated Jew. And he was writing to former pagans. There were probably some Jews there, but I imagine most of them were pagans, former pagans, who now come to the revelation of Yeshua and clearly had an interest in the working of the Spirit. You got to remember, if someone's in these letters, if someone's writing something, there's a reason why he's writing it. This isn't an email that could have easily been jotted down and sent flippantly. We can also gather from Shaul that we know he had bad eyesight. Because in ancient manuscripts, when he said, I write these with my own words, the text was big. And typically, even in other prophets such as Jeremiah, they use scribes. You know, like a secretary being, you know, a boss dictating to a secretary. This is a lot what they did back then. So we know that Shaul's dictating to somebody else. And cost of ink and parchment and sending the letter, these are all important things. So if he's writing something, it's really important. So this isn't something, even though you might have your own presuppositions, and I'm sure you do, I really ask you to put them on the side and look at the text for what it says itself. Because it's in the Bible. That's enough. All right, so let's take a look. Let's take a look at what the Bible says about speaking in tongues. Next. But before we do that, let me give you an idea. If you've ever been to a traditional synagogue, and by traditional I mean Orthodox, maybe somewhat more traditionally leaning conservative, when Jews pray, it's not, let's say, like a hymnal section in a Lutheran church. Everyone sounds very, you can hear all the words, it's nice four-part harmony. It sounds more like, if you know classical music, a Schoenberg composition. A lot of dissonance, cacophony. It sounds like noise, and you don't even really understand the words that are going on unless you know what the words are going on beforehand. And people, it often sounds like muttering. Okay? That's how Jews pray. So, the joke is, Mr. Schwartz dies. Mr. Schwartz goes to heaven. He's a good Jew his whole life. And he's marveling at the presence of heaven and being near the angels and that God is here. So a couple of angels come up to him and say, the Holy One, blessed be He, would like to speak to you. He says, to me? Yeah, to you. So they usher him into the presence of God, and he's bowing his head, and he's nervous, and he's frightened. This is the God. And he says, the Holy One, blessed be He, would like to speak to you. And so he says, yes, Lord, speak. So God says, and Mr. Schwartz looks at him and says, excuse me? Please forgive me 1,000 pardons. I don't understand what you're saying. He goes, I'm at a loss. God says, you've been talking to me that way your whole life. So I use a joke to kind of help you understand that, look, maybe speaking in a kind of a funny way to talk isn't so not Jewish after all. And no matter what we do, at the end of the day, this is not what God hears. He hears this. So you can say all the prayers you want. I mean, let's think about Yeshua in the Sermon on the Mount. You can use big words. You can stand on the corner. You can stand in the synagogue, and you can pray, and you can pray, and you can pray. And he says, you've already received your reward. But God, the Father's looking for this. So keep that in mind. Whatever comes out of your mouth, this is what really God hears. Okay. So let's go next slide. Now, another disclaimer. Bruce really did a number to me 2 weeks ago when you had that fancy PowerPoint with the colors and the pictures. So I figured I got to step it up. So thanks a lot. So thankfully, Macs have all these, you know, templates you can use. So I didn't really have to make it much. Just, you know, I had to find what I liked. So what are tongues? Let's just start with what tongues are. Let's not start with what tongues you think tongues are, but what are tongues? And I'm going to, again, go through these pieces. Tongues are, first, a supernatural gift from God. Tongues are speaking the wonderful works of God through the Spirit. And thirdly, tongues are a way to edify the congregation. In essence, this is what we're talking about. It's a gift from God. It's a way to speak, to praise God in His Spirit. That sounds good. And it's also a way to edify each other. What's wrong with that? So let's sing about how did I come with these conclusions and so give you something to chew on. Next. Okay, so a supernatural gift from God. So Yeshua says in the end of Mark, even though there is some scholarly debate as whether this is, some of the earliest manuscripts don't have this chapter, and nonetheless it is accepted. Then these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So notice also where this is placed. You know, I don't speak in tongues. That's for other people, but don't you believe in healing? Don't you believe in casting out demons? So the same God who gave those gifts also gave this gift. I mean, and how cool would it be if someone gave you cyanide and it didn't kill you? Serious, I mean, maybe not now, but in the future. Or so Paul was bit by a serpent, didn't kill him. And that's the kind of power we're talking about. So keep in mind that this same unbelievable power is also what gives us the ability to speak tongues. All right, second one is there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So, and I paraphrase, there's wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So if you believe in wisdom is from the Spirit, do you believe in the knowledge is from the Spirit? How about faith or healing or miracles or prophecy? Don't you think those are all from the Spirit? So if you believe those, then what about the last one? These are gifts. Now, of course, we're going to find out that gifts are given to certain people. And also gifts are given at a certain time. You wouldn't give I wouldn't give my three-year-old a brand new car. Maybe when she's 18, says, Dad, I want a new car. All right. But gifts are given at a certain time. And we're also, think about that. And also, we're going to find out that Paul's going to tell us to desire certain gifts. This year, Spirit, I'd like for Hanukkah, you know, this gift. We can desire these things and say, this is on my list. Next. What are tongues? They're speaking the wonderful works of God through the Spirit. We see the first appearance of this is, of course, during Shavuot. Some is referred to Pentecost. And Jews from every nation under heaven heard the disciples speaking in their own tongues the wonderful works of God. So we do know what they were saying. They were praising God, but to the Jews from Arabia, they heard it in Arabic. From the Jews from Greece, they heard it in Greek. They could hear the works of God in their own language, and they were, what is going on? Then Peter decides to use this time to share about the works of Yeshua, what God did through Yeshua. They weren't speaking in tongues Peter's sermon. They were speaking in tongues the praises of God. And they marveled and said, well, how do they do this? And then he used that opportunity to convict them about the works of God and Yeshua, and they all repented. So in a way, I think it's the Spirit like primed them to hear it, and then he cut to their heart, and they repented, and thousands were added to that day, on that day. Later, when Peter goes to Cornelius, a pagan Roman, most of you, I'm sure, know the story. He goes there, and he says, I shouldn't even be here according to Jewish law, but God has shown me not to call any man unclean. So they talk with him, and then even out of the blue, it says, for the Jewish believers heard the new Gentile believers, and of course I'm paraphrasing, speak with tongues and magnify God. So here, these Gentiles, former idol worshipers, are now speaking the wonderful works of God in a new language. Do we know what that language is? No, it doesn't say. Was it a known human language? We don't know. All we do know is that in some other language, they were speaking the works of God before they were baptized. And they hadn't converted to Judaism. So they were stunned. And they went back to Jerusalem and they told those there, and especially those whom said that Gentiles had to become Jewish to be saved, they said, look, the Spirit fell upon them and they weren't circumcised. So who are we to deny them salvation? And lastly, when Shaul is telling the Corinthians, and even some of the Romans I'm going to refer to, he says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So this is really cool, that a tongue really, in essence, is this private line you have with God. And it's a mystery. We're speaking mysteries. We're speaking in the Spirit. I mean, what better communicator is that? The Spirit knows our hearts, and he knows the heart of God. It's not small talk. This is real intimate stuff. We're really speaking to God. He's now given us the knowledge of his heart and put it upon our heart. And later, I'm going to read in Romans 8:26. I'm going to read to you, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints, the holy ones, according to the will of God. So you even see that God assists us in our prayers. Sometimes we don't even know what to pray, especially if you get up early in the morning. Oh, gosh, not my favorite, but you got to. And even sometimes you don't know what to pray, and personally, I just get up and I start pacing the room and praying in tongues. It gets my heart going, gets my spirit going, and it leads to words in English. But sometimes I don't know what to pray, so this helps me. And it attunes me to what's on God's heart. Because really, at the end of the day, we're not praying what we want. We're praying what God wants for us. Keep that in mind. It's very powerful. We think, oh, God, I need this. I need that. Please give me this. Please bless that. But really, you should be asking God, what should I pray today? What's on your heart for me? Is it for other people? If it is certain things for my life, what should I be praying about? I'm sure the list is endless. What things we could pray for. So if God already knows what we're going to pray before it comes on our tongue, who are we kidding? Why don't you ask him what we should pray about instead of just repeating stuff that he already knows? Look, the Bible is very, it's a lot of deep truths, but at the end of the day, it should be really simple. And if God knows all things, let's not kid him. Next. Third, this is a way to edify the congregation. And this is very important for us because there's, like I said, I pray in tongues and personally at home, but there's also a manner in which we should do so when we're together. All right, so we see in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, Shaul writes, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So all those gifts that you hopefully read at home, we're talking about wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, these are all to better each other. And I think the big reason why Shaul writes a lot of this is because people were using their gifts for themselves. Look at me, I'm spiritual. But he's saying that the purpose of these gifts is to bless, is to encourage, is to build up. So sometimes people, they can use the gifts of God for themselves, which is wrong. I mean, even think about it, like I could say, well, I'm the rabbi, you should serve me. But in actuality, say, I'm the rabbi, how can I serve you? And it's no different with tongues. The Spirit has empowered us, the same Spirit of Yeshua has empowered us to serve and not be served. Continuing in chapter 14, he says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. That's in the Bible, by the way. Just keep, you know, it's in the Bible. So I wish you all spoke with tongues. But even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless he indeed interprets that the congregation may receive edification. Thank you. So we see that prophecy is greater because it edifies clearly. You get a word from God, it's usually in English, right? For at least for us. If you just speak in tongues, thank you. Does nothing for me. But if you, well, the God is saying, okay, well, thank you. Now you've built me up. So you see here that Shaul has a desire for us all to speak in tongues. He qualifies that statement, though, in public setting, then it needs to be interpreted so that we be built up. Nonetheless, he desires it for us. We should desire it too. And lastly, he says, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, so you see the heart of the Corinthians, they want to excel in the Spirit, let it be for the edification of the congregation that you seek to excel. Don't do it for yourself. Seek these gifts. I mean, how wouldn't you want a gift from God? Seek these gifts, but do it for the betterment of the congregation. Is that clear? All right. Next. Can we go to the next slide, please? Thank you. No problem. One of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. So this is, sarcasm is not on that list, but I put in the notes in the bottom. So praying in tongues is also a way to pray with your spirit. And here's what Shaul writes. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So he's acknowledging that whatever language I'm speaking, I don't know what I'm saying in my mind. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. And I thought about this. I thought, why is he saying this? Because before the work of Yeshua, our spirits were dead. They've been resurrected by the Spirit of God. So now we can actually speak through the Spirit in private. And I'm going to show another verse to attest to this. It helps us to pray with our spirit, which is in tune with the Spirit of God. Right, and Shaul writes in Galatians 2 that it's not I who live in me, but the Son of God. So when we're praying in the Spirit, and we see another image of in Hebrews that Yeshua is making intercession for us, those words in heaven are now inside of us. I mean, even think about the disciples earlier. They said to Yeshua, teach us how to pray. He's teaching us now through the Spirit. People, I don't know how to pray. Even my daughters, we say, pray for the baby. We tell her to pray for the baby. And Maora very innocently says, I don't know how. So I teach her. Let us not be so foolish to think that we know how to pray completely now. Let us seek God for how to pray. Then you really have a very effective prayer life. When you have the God himself teaching you how to pray, who needs seminary? No, you should learn, but God can teach you how to pray. And God can give you words to edify the congregation that you had no idea about. You don't know people's hearts, but the Spirit does. You don't know what people need, but the Spirit does. You don't know if people in pain they're in, but the Spirit can heal them. What this is about is the working of the Spirit within us to bless one another and to build each other up. We will not accomplish this in the flesh or in our limited intellect. If it's Shaul writes into the Philippians that he's going to give us a peace that passes all understanding. We have a prayer that passes all understanding too. But it also, what's really cool, is that we can understand it. It says we're going to read that we should desire the interpretation. Next. All right. I'm kind of rushing through this because honestly, I want to spend time in praying for those who want this gift. Because at the end of the day, you can hear me talk, so what? But we want the Spirit to come give those who desire that gift to receive that gift. So, all right, so here's some, and as we say in teacher talk, anticipated misconceptions you may have. See, there's, you know, sometimes when you're in a job you don't like, you can glean good things from them to use for another job that you get that you do like. So, all right, I'm not sure because it's not Jewish. Well, I kind of jokingly alleviated that, but there's also something that Rabbi Michaels brought up before. If you know what a nigun is or a nigun, Hasidic Jews will pray wordless songs, and it means something to them and gets them worked up. This is not so foreign to us to speak. A lot of Jews don't do it, but some do. This idea that we're singing with words, and we read, Shaul said, I sing with the Spirit. We can sing even in tongues. They don't have to have words, but you do see evidence of it in the Jewish community. And there's also a really neat story that is in the Hasidic circles. The Baal Shem Tov, the guy who founded the Hasidic movement, he tells of a story of a poor Jew. You know, this was dealing with Eastern Europe a couple hundred years ago when Jews didn't have much. It was cold, persecuted. And a poor Jew went into the synagogue once. And he wasn't learned. He didn't know how to pray. So he sat there and he simply recited the Aleph Bet. Aleph Bet, Gimel, Dalet, He, Vav, Zayin, Chet, Tet. Oh, there's the Hebrew letters. And some of the more learned Jews said, what is he doing? Why is he saying the Aleph Bet? And the Baal Shem Tov said, he doesn't know how to pray. So he's speaking the letters to God, and he's letting God construct them himself. What a powerful picture that speaks to what we're doing. We don't know how to pray, so we let God pray for us or pray through us. He's constructing prayers within us that will build up our spirit and will edify the congregation. All right. I'm not sure because I'm not charismatic. Well, if you go in the Bible, it's never an option. This isn't a choice. If you say you don't believe in the Spirit of God, maybe you might have an argument, but I would hope you do. Because it's that Holy Spirit who gives us these gifts. It's not an issue of I'm charismatic, I'm not charismatic. It's an issue is do you want the fullness of God or don't you? All right, I'm not sure because it's weird. It's a fair argument. But I will say this. Things with the greatest potential for good have also the greatest potential to be weird or bad. I mean, think of Yeshua himself. Think about the reputation he has amongst many, and especially in the Jewish community. He's looked at as the God of the Gentiles. how far he's come from what's written in the scriptures. To him, to most Jews, he's the last thing they'll think of. I mean, when my mom tells a story, when she got saved, God appeared to her in a dream, a vision, and she said to God, it's like, you can be anybody. Don't be Jesus. Because I got to tell my parents. So in a similar respect, speaking in tongues may seem so foreign, so not Jewish, so bizarre, I'm not charismatic. All right, I get it. But let the scriptures speak for themselves. Because if you say it's just weird, I mean, you hear about stories from Africa and limbs being regrown, the dead raised. That's weird, but it's real. I mean, and there are works of darkness, like these places in Africa, they have witch doctors. These guys do some weird stuff. But that's real too. Except that we got, you know, the good side. They got the bad side. So let's not be deterred by it being weird or not. Because at the end of the day, I would love to see a foot regrown. An eye, people, blind people see. People get up out of wheelchairs. It'd be weird, but it'd be awesome. So are you speaking in tongues? Let's be weird. I mean, show us this, say, I'm going to be a fool for the Messiah. So don't let your pride get in the way of what God can do through us. All right, I'm not sure because I'm a little embarrassed. Fair enough, but pray for boldness. God will give you the strength. And remember, like we read earlier, this is between you and God. I'm not sure because it's only known languages. Some people might object, it's only known languages. Well, if you read 1 Corinthians 13:1, Joel does write, if I speak in the languages of men or of angels. So we do know that angels have a language. Rosetta Stone does not have a program for that. Or it could be a language that you don't even know about. I mean, you go to some villages in Africa, India, they got like 5 languages in 10 square miles. And it reminds me of a story of a friend of mine. He and his buddies, they went to Brazil. And they were there and they're ministering to the people. And one of the girls started speaking in tongues. And one of the Brazilians said, how do you know Portuguese? And she said, I don't. She didn't know it was Portuguese, but it turned out it was. So you never know. Next. All right. So this is my emphasis and why this is important. You have a personal worship connection to God. You don't have to be on pitch. You don't have to be in rhythm. You don't have to be on key. You just speak in tongues as the Spirit leads you, and you praise God through the Spirit. You're able to connect with God's Spirit in a deep, intimate way. God will use the Spirit to speak through you. And as we've been emphasizing the last few weeks, and something we want to do more, is we need to be more in touch with the Spirit of God. Because if He's not leading us, we shouldn't go. You're able to pray without having the right words. Like I said, in the morning, sometimes you don't know what to pray. Sometimes maybe something is bothering you. You don't know, I don't know, this I might be conflicted. Pray in the Spirit. You're never wrong in the Spirit. And you can edify the congregation. You want to serve the congregation more, pray in the Spirit, and desire to interpret it so that the congregation can be built up. Last. Get one more. Okay. So, this is your take home. We should know tongues are only one gift from the Spirit. So don't be discouraged if you don't get it. And this is not, speaking in the tongues is not the only sign that you have the Spirit of God in you. All right? Don't listen to that. It's nonsense. Because Paul even says, I wish you prophesied more than you spoke in tongues. But we still should desire it. And he also writes at the very end of chapter 14, that we should, he says in chapter 14, 39, therefore, brothers, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Again, in the Bible, seek to prophesy. Don't forbid speaking in tongues, but do it in order. We're not going to have some wacky thing, people crawling on the walls, shouting at each other. Speaking in tongues, prophesying, everything should be done in order. The last, he says in 14:33, and for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. All the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Let all things be done decently and in order. So it can be weird, but it's as long as it's done in order. It's a joke. Use it personally at home. Help it develop your prayer life more. Use it for the edification of the congregation. That is, seek its interpretation. Now, Paul, Shaul does write in 1 Corinthians 14, 28, but if there is no interpreter, it could be somebody else to interpret, let this person keep silent in the congregation and let him speak to himself and to God. So if you can interpret it or no one else can interpret it, then just go to your corner, pray in tongues. Don't, we shouldn't forbid it, but you should not take the limelight because it does no good for everybody else. And again, the last thing I'm encourage you is read over 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Because the thing is, I want to say, amongst all these spiritual gifts that Bruce and Rabbi Michael and I are talking about, is that, and it's very important, that love is the greatest of all. And I don't care how much Paul, the wording is very strong. If I speak in the language of men and of angels, but I have not love, I'm like a clanging cymbal. A brass, you know, it's my least favorite sound. My kids have the pots and pans or something. I hate it. That's what we sound like to God if we don't have love and we have all these spiritual gifts. So while these are important, we should desire them. Our priority is always that we love one another. And he says at the end of 13, prophecies will cease. Tongues will go away. But love is the greatest of all. So, with this, I want to create space to pray for people. And I really encourage you, if you want this, and even if you're a little bit embarrassed, please push past it. Ask God for the strength. Because the more we function in the Spirit, the more we will succeed. We're not here for ourselves. We're here to follow the Spirit of God to where He leads us. We're here to edify each other in the Spirit of God. So why don't we take a second and let's pray. And then we'll invite up the elders, come up, please, and we'll pray for those who want to receive this gift. And I'll say one more thing. If you don't receive it, don't be discouraged. Sometimes God has to seek Him more than once. And if you don't get it, also, there are other gifts you may have from the Spirit of God. If you don't speak with tongues, you're no less than anyone else. But do desire it. And God is really good at giving gifts. So let's go to the next slide. We were promised that we would be baptized in fire. And it burns up the bad stuff and purifies that which is burning. So it's a good thing. It can be a little scary, but it's a good thing. So let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes, let's open our hearts to God. We'll have a time of quiet prayer, and then the elders could come up. We'll begin to pray for people. Abba, in the name of Yeshua, I pray you bless those who are here today, and I pray your Spirit would come mightily. And those who desire this gift, Lord, I pray you would answer their prayer. I pray you would remove any embarrassment, any presuppositions, any blockages to this, Lord, because ultimately we just want your Spirit. So speak to willing hearts here, Lord, now. And if those, according to your will, Lord, who receive the Spirit, I pray they would come up. Thank you, Lord, for this time in Yeshua's name.